Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your favorite time of week where you get to download the crazy sheet, get you something cold to drink on this Thursday version, and hopefully buckle in for some college football this weekend. I'm Mark, and I'm actually on the road this week. I'm actually in Vegas sitting at Circa as we record this, and Scotty will not be able to join us due to work constraints. He's out there actually having to sell some sticks to pay the bills, and so he can put in a little extra cheese in his pocket so he can keep on gambling this week. So that means he doesn't have me to filter things. He's not here to filter things out for me or cut down on some of these crazy ass picks that I'm about to give you. So if you don't want to listen to everything, I would tell you now, go ahead and cut it down, because it's going to be hard and fast for about 20 minutes. We're going to get this going, and hopefully we're going to put a few dollars in our pocket. That being said, let's get started Thursday night. West Virginia is traveling down to Houston. This game will kick off at 6 o'clock Central Time. Hopefully we get this podcast out there. I really like West Virginia in this spot. Scott and I both agree. West Virginia's defense has stepped up. This team has played tremendously better than what we expected coming into the season. Obviously, Neil Brown was on the hot seat as you were getting ready for it, and he did what he needed to do with this roster. He put an offense in that pounds a rock and plays solid defense. And this team showed well in most of the games that they've played in this season. They're 4-1 straight up, with one loss being to Penn State. Their turnover ratio is even, and so things are looking good. I think they've done a really good job in this spot. Houston, on the other hand, not so much. I cannot figure out what Dana Hologram's doing down there. I think he's definitely on the hot seat. Losing this game here would probably end his season and career for this team, is my guess, because it's not getting any easier, and being a home loss on a Thursday night is going to be tough. But I'm going to go ahead and lay it here with West Virginia. -2.5, -3 will be the official play. We're going to lay it with West Virginia. I look for them to get physical, pound the rock. I don't think Donovan Smith's going to be able to exploit that bend but don't break defense. And they're going to be able to move the ball down the field, play a lot of clock control, and get this one done. I would hint to a lean to the under as well, but being it on a Thursday night. But I'm also going to play West Virginia -2.5, -3. First play we've got this next week. Next game I want to go to, Friday night. Fresno State traveling to Logan, Utah. This is a bounce-back game for Fresno State. Fresno went up to Laramie, Wyoming, and as we've learned this season, it's hard to win in Laramie. We've also learned that Wyoming's really good, with their only loss being the University of Texas when they had to travel down to Austin and play. Fresno is still one of the most explosive offenses in this conference. I think they've still got a chance to win the conference, even with a loss to Wyoming, because they don't do the sides anymore in this deal. They all come head-to-head. Utah State, complete fool's gold. If you go back and watch them play, they're scoring nearly 40, but they're giving up 33 points a game in this one. They're 5-1 to the over. Just letting you know, they are going to put up some fireworks. I think Fresno, even being on the road after being on the road in Laramie last week and then having to go to weird-ass Logan, Utah, I think they come back, step it up, get it done. It's a small cover on a Friday night. I know it's a short week, but this Utah State team, even though their record is 3-3, trust me when I tell you this is not a solid unit. Let's go back to the boys from Fresnac, see if we can't get one done on Friday night, laying a small number in 4.5 in that spot. Next game I want to go to on the rotation sheet is going to be the NC State-Duke game. This is an interesting spot. NC State coming into the season, you were looking for a physical defense. Armstrong was going to be transferred in, was going to be playing quarterback there. Everybody was high on what was going to happen there, and he really hasn't performed. They moved in with MJ Morris as the backup quarterback a couple of weeks ago. He saw some intermittent playing time 2 games ago, and then he started the last game. But Armstrong still had some packages that were in there. The one thing that really questions me in this game is can NC State's defense get any push? This was a unit that has been dominating the trench for the last couple of years, and they've really struggled, even since week one against Connecticut, to have some constant pressure on the quarterback and really control the trench. That's why they're giving up 24 points a game. Duke, on the flip side, can get it done. Here's where the caveat is for this one. I think the defensive unit at Duke is better than the defensive unit at NC State. I think Mike Elko's done a fantastic job. He's probably coaching his way right out of this job this season. But if Riley Leonard, the quarterback at Duke, is going to play, and I have read all kinds of different things here. I've seen this number move from 2.5 up to 3.5, which would lead you to believe there's news that he's going to play. But I can't confirm anything as of now, and the line sits here at a painted 3 almost across the board. If Riley Leonard plays, Duke -3 will be an official play for me. I think with him playing and he's able to go 100%. He's too dynamic, and I think this NC State defense is going to really struggle when they got to deal with him. That's where I would lay Duke -3. You also got to keep in mind, Duke comes in with a chip on their shoulder in all these games. No one's given this program respect ever. And so I definitely think they're stepping up in class and getting some things going. So I would roll with Duke if Riley Leonard plays and go from there. Next situation I want to go to, Texas A&M and Tennessee. A&M coming off of that loss to Alabama last week, and they almost did exactly what we thought they would do, is they went after, they made Jalen Milroe beat them through the air, and he did. Jalen Milroe stepped up. We saw that he played better, and I think that was the biggest difference in the game. He was able to hit some of those underneath throws. He even hit some deep balls. They didn't make him come across the middle in the intermediate things, and that's where they were able to take the game away from him. Tennessee's an interesting spot here. Most people aren't paying attention to Tennessee, even though they're 4-1 after their loss a couple of weeks ago. And frankly, I don't blame you. Joe Milton, to me, fugazi. I just can't get there. I think the offense is built out so that he can put up some points. They're averaging 36 a game. But the strength of this Tennessee team is their defensive line. And I think that's where you're going to see the step up this week. Is I think A&M's offensive line is kind of hot garbage. And if you go look at statistics since Connor Wegman went down and they had to bring in Max Johnson, everything has dropped off. Yards per attempt, yards per completion, air yards, everything. And so as much as I like Max Johnson and I think he can manage this situation for A&M to get them through here, I don't know how many points they're going to put up. And A&M's offensive line hasn't done a great job of protecting him. Tennessee, on the flip side, I don't see A&M giving up the deep ball to Joe Milton. He has proven to me not to be accurate. And A&M has gotten after it. They're -3 in the turnover margin. And so where I'm going to go with this game, and Scott loves this because we got a total play, let's go under 55. Under 55 in the total for the Tennessee-Texas A&M game. All right, moving on. Let's go down to the next sheet. Game 143 on your rotation sheet. This one is fucking gross, just letting you know. Michigan State and Rutgers are going to match up in Piscataway. Line here is 39.5, the over-under. Rutgers is laying 4.5 to 5.5. Ooh, Rutgers has done a heck of a job. They are 5-0 against the number. They're 4-2 straight up. They have hung around all season long in games. Scott has been high on Rutgers all season. There's no way he buys off on this pick. If he gets to listen to the podcast, he'll tweet me or he'll text me. He'll tell me he can't believe I put this in here. But we're taking Michigan State +4.5 or 5. I'd like to, if you can get the 5. Michigan State got the bye week. You read the reports, watch the pressers. With D'Antonio there, it looks like they're kind of right in the ship a little bit. And if you go look at their box scores for the last two games, you're going to notice some fraudulent scores in there. They may have lost, but go look at their yards. Go look at how things worked out in those. They haven't given up. This team actually is playing hard for these guys, and I get it, man. I mean, these guys still get a chance to transfer if they want to. You don't know who the next head coach is going to be. There's going to be tape on that. This is a Power 5 football program, and so it's not like this is a lower-tier program that everything next year is going to start over. But I really like what I read this week through the practice reports, trying to get everything I can for the beat writers of Michigan State. I'm going to roll Michigan State +5 at Rutgers. I love what Chiano's doing at Rutgers, but laying points against another Power 5 team, especially in conference, let's give me Michigan State. I think this is a big enough disrespect spot that I think Michigan State could come in there, get this cover, possibly get this win. Next one, let's go to the North Carolina-Miami game. Wow, Mario Cristobal. Apparently he is against taking a knee. And I love that for him because it has only been talked about all week long of how big of a dipshit he looks like for trying to pull that one off. I get it. The running back that was playing in that game never rushed for 100 yards before. I think that's right. But was coming off a pretty serious injury. Probably wanted to get him some extra yards after carries. That was going to push him over the number. I personally don't even think it was a fumble. But it got ruled that. And then the fact that they got beat over the top to lose that game to a Georgia Tech team who we were on the week before against Bowling Green and just got handled is amazing to me. So Miami's kind of wrote themselves out of that national championship picture, but they've still got a chance to win the ACC. They just happened this week to be matched up against a team from North Carolina who has done some good things. Drake May, you would argue that he could be QB1 for a lot of people. I mean, Van Dimes on the other side can still spin the bean. And so everything I've read from the practice reports, Cristobal fell on the sword. He took that whole loss on himself. He was a little bullshitty in the actual, you know, the first conference it came out with. But as the week went on, he took all that on himself. North Carolina, they're going to let it go, baby. I'm just letting you know. Drake May can get it done. This offense is explosive. They're scoring 36 points a game. These are the two highest scoring teams in the ACC. Defensively, they're giving up 14.5 and 19 respectively, but I think that's Fugazi. I'm going over 57 points in this one. I think this is going to be a pretty electric game. Looking for a lot of digits on the board, baby. So put some nickels in your pocket and let's get over 57 in that one. Let's sweep down to the Sun Belt. Georgia State and Marshall will be playing. It's game 159-160 on your rotation sheet. This should be a pretty evenly matched, hence the score, or since the line here, Georgia State -1. Marshall, man, this team is physical. They can get it done. They like, but they're balanced. They can pass, but they're still running the ball very well. I like what they've got going on here, but what I think they're going to do is they're about to match up with a really explosive offense in this spot. I think Georgia State, you're basically getting this one at a pick 'em. You're laying one with Georgia State. We're going Georgia State. I'm going with the more potent offense in this game. I think they get explosive. I don't know that anybody's going to be watching this game on Saturday night, but this is going to be a great Sun Belt matchup between Georgia State and Marshall. We'll take Georgia State -1 in that one. Next game, MAC game of the week. This is all Scotty right here, baby. Game 173-174 on your rotation sheet. Northern Illinois coming on that big win that they got last week against Akron that we put y'all on top of there to move their record to 2-4 straight up. Ohio coming into this one 5-1 straight up with their only loss being that first game of the season when they played San Diego State and Rourke got hurt early on. They had to pull him out, otherwise they'd probably be undefeated at this point. Scott and I are on the same side. We think Ohio is the class of this league. And in the MAC, there is some massive separation in talent when you dial it into it. And I think Ohio's got it done. Most of the roster returned for Ohio from last year to this year. They've performed well. They're scoring 25 points a game. But defensively, they're only giving up 12 points a game. Northern Illinois, this team is not great. They had a really good season last year. But they were huge in the turnover and luck margin. They kind of remind me of the Minnesota Vikings on the pro circuit that you've got from this year. All those one-win games from last year, they're not happening this year. So I'm going to go, and Scott, Ohio -6.5. Get it before it goes to 7. Think Ohio walks away with this one. Easy, easy cover on the spot that we've got here. Let's go to a big game that we've got. It'll be afternoon slate. If you got some things to do, don't do it in the afternoon at 2:30 because there's going to be a good game coming on. Let's talk about Washington and Oregon. Washington's laying 3 here against an Oregon football team. I'm going to break this down for you real simply. You got two massively powered offenses. I mean, if you look at their season total right now, this is how ridiculous this is. Between the two of them, they are averaging 97 points a game, and they're only giving up 37. I'm not averaging, but in totals that they've got there. So are we going to see some firepower? Maybe. What you're looking at this week is going to be interesting. There's supposed to be some weather in Seattle. It's going to be gross. I honestly think Seattle is one of the truest home field advantages in the country, and I think the same thing about Autzen. Two very tough places to play. I've been to games at both of them. Fantastic venues. And this is great for the Pac-12 on its way out the door. But here's where we're going to roll with this one. I'm going to go from a 3 to 4 year old deep pull. And Bo Nix on the road is ungood. Michael Penix and the boys are going to be at home. The one thing I think Oregon's got for them is their rushing attack. In a sense that they can pound the rock. And if the weather's gross, you know, and keep in mind, it's not necessarily rain, it's wind. But who knows what we're going to get up there, and then that's what hurts the passing game. But I'm going to be real interested to see what Washington's game plan is going to be. Kalen DeBoer, to me, is one of the brightest offensive minds in college football, and I don't think he's going to get out-schemed in this one. Oregon hasn't missed a beat after losing Dillingham as their offensive coordinator and moving down when he moved down to Arizona State. But I think it's going to be a fun game. These teams don't like each other. It's like they're going to get up there and they're going to out-liberal each other to see who's going to win. We're going with the Washington Huskies, baby, laying 3. This is a good squad. See if you can still find a 2.5. There's a couple that were out there this morning when I looked at it, but definitely think this is a spot that Washington gets it done. I think it's going to be a fantastic game, but we're taking the home team, laying a short number against Bo Nix on the road. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and look at Auburn. Hell, he hasn't even been great when he's been in Oregon at times or there. Let's move on to another marquee game that we got. Saturday, USC and Notre Dame. USC will be traveling up to Notre Dame to play in this game here. This is an interesting spot. Notre Dame is about to play. This is the last game on the board on your rotation sheet, by the way. Notre Dame, I think, is about to play their 8th game in a row, with their first game being one that they played outside the country. This team, and you can go back and look, there are statistics talking about after you've played so many games in a row that you start seeing the decrease. And frankly, go back and look at Notre Dame. The very best game that they played all season long was their first game of the year. And since then, it's been a backslide every single week. I still like Sam Hartman. They're scoring 34 points a game. And I realize USC's defense is bad. If you've watched them play, you don't ever know what you're going to get. And they let some teams hang around. But this is a huge game for both of these teams. But Notre Dame has been in this fight now for going on 3-4 weeks. You've got the Ohio State game. Then you've got the Duke game that they had. Then you had last week the game that they lost. And then you've got this game here. I mean, it's just hard to get up this many weeks in a row, even though you're at home playing an explosive USC team. I don't know what the weather's going to bring, but it's not like USC can't run the ball. Marshawn Lloyd, that guy's going to play on Sunday, man. He is exciting. And also, I think USC's getting some players back this week. Notre Dame, I've read that there could be some nick-ups in that defense and that offensive line, which could cause some problems, but we'll see. Again, USC's defense is super suspect, but you got to wonder how they're going to step up in here. But you're getting points. And so most times you can even find a 3 on this one. It's -2.5, 3. If you can find a 3, buy a 3. You're getting your best offense in the country. You're getting 3 points. Yeah, the defense is bad. This is a rivalry game. Let's get it rolling. We're going to take USC +3 to get it done on the road. A couple other leans that we've got out there, but nothing official that we're going to put on it. Scott's a big fan of Bowling Green this week, getting 4.5 against Buffalo. Oh, no, he's on Buffalo. I'm on Bowling Green. I think Buffalo's terrible. Bowling Green's got some spots that are in there, but we're kind of oppo on that one, so we kicked it to the curb. Another total I would play would be the LSU-Auburn over. Weather should be okay in Baton Rouge on Saturday. LSU's offense is still pretty defense is still pretty atrocious, but they can put some points up. I look for them to get that done. I love me some UNLV laying 9.5 against Nevada. Nevada is one of the worst teams in the country. This UNLV team is on track to make it to a bowl game. They run the rock, dude. They're pretty physical. Don't be scared to get behind these guys on this. So, that being said, folks, we got a shit ton of plays that we threw at you. Sorry you just had to listen to my dumb ass the whole time and we didn't get Scott. We'll be back together next week, but hopefully we can put a couple of bucks in your pocket with this week's podcast so we're ready to start rolling again for week 8 of college football. That being said, y'all have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.